Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into that middle season where it's that first Sunday, that first weekend. It's like there's not even a Pro Bowl, there's not even a flag football game, and we're amidst the Hall of Fame conversations and Radio Row conversations here. But we have real-time activities, including a new offense coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, as well as the Angelos family coming out of its shell and meeting with selected members of the media. Luke Jones joins us now to discuss all things relevant and real in 2023 as we sort of gear it back up here at Baltimore Positive for the spring training run. Luke, I remember these days back in spring training where, we're broadcasting from the dugout and there's Earl Weaver and there's David Segui and there's Brady Anderson or there's Miguel Tejada or there's Javi Lopez or there's Mike Flynn. Or there's Mike Hargrove, or I don't know where we are in the cosmos of all of this and who gets taken to task because I'm stale, right? I'm stale bread. I'm 17 years removed from Free the Birds when I, quite frankly, cared a lot more about it in the way that people around me cared a lot more about it and the way that it fed my family and before you were a part of it. But as a flyover baseball apparicio at this point, engaged with Bruce Springsteen concerts. And quite frankly, coming from a baseball town, I was in Houston for a couple of days last week with friends, family who go to Astros stuff everywhere and feeling that vibe that, baseball making the news in the off season for anything, even if it's Angelos' kid at this point, being crazy and doing crazy stuff. I mean, they've got good players. They're a relevant franchise again with all of these tentacles of Nashville ownership, money, future ownership, dying owner. And even in February and March, we're still like, man, maybe the offense coordinator is more interesting. I don't know. You tell me, but welcome in. I want to talk some sports today and certainly want to get your feedback on Team Angelos now that lawsuits are done and they're going to like play ball in a couple of weeks. Like, this should be an exciting time for baseball fans. It should be.
Yeah, and it is to a degree. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, if you don't have some reason for optimism and some excitement based on what we endured over the last 4 or 5, 6 years, especially, the post Buck Showalter, Dan Duquette, that crashed and burned late in 2017. 18 was awful, and then obviously they reset everything. If you endured all of that and you maintain some level of engagement with that product over the last 3, 4, 5 years, where that was not easy. I mean, let's be very honest about that. Just putting aside all the off-field drama, just how awful that was on a nightly basis, you
Well, you
certainly
and I
enjoy.
do it professionally, and thinking about doing it 7 days a week when they are 12 and 29 to be 28 and 51, like it's just, it became not a going concern, and it very much is again, right? It really is.
Right.
And when John Angelos is out in front of this and there's no lease and he's a dishonest human, and an appearing human after 3 decades all of a sudden to run the thing. This should make everybody sit up and say what's going on, at least because baseball is going to be on every night if you can find it on your cable, you know?
Right. But even before you get to that, just strictly talking in terms of what you're seeing on the field, certainly 2022. It's a great story for I mean, the Orioles were one of the best stories in baseball, with the what 31 game turnaround that they had and finishing 83 and 79 after being a 110 plus loss team each of the previous 3 full seasons. I mean, that was something to celebrate, if you're an Orioles fan, just in terms of what they had endured in recent seasons. However, all of the excitement for Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Grayson Rodriguez and continuing to have a consensus best farm system in baseball, which shows that the future continues to remain bright beyond 2023. Even you look at this team, there's plenty to be excited about, but there's still a lot of questions. And that's where we come back to the offseason. And that's when we start to ask the questions of why does this team still have the 29th ranked payroll in all of baseball? No one is expecting with any level of reality that this team was going to suddenly have a $200 million payroll. We talked about that at the beginning of the offseason. But when you're last or next to last in the way that the Orioles were last year, as Oakland was trimming more and more payroll and getting rid of more and more players, which they continued this offseason, mind you, there was a thought that there should be some money to spend here. And yes, the payroll is more than it was last year. And if the Orioles want to puff out their chest and say, well, it's a sizable percentage higher than it was a year ago, technically that's true. But in terms of where the Orioles rank compared to even other teams that you would consider where somewhere in that mid to small market tier in terms of media markets and clubs, it's still on the very low side. So that's why what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com last week, you know, I'll stand behind that. There's absolutely reason for excitement. There's absolutely reason for optimism. I think this is going to be a team that's going to be really interesting to watch. And I think there is much more upside for this club than there's been in a long time. When you look at Adley Rutschman, when you look at Gunnar Henderson, when you look at Grayson Rodriguez. However, when you look at the offseason activity, it was much more about, it felt much more of, let's try to duplicate what we did a year ago without putting meaningful long-term investment in the major league payroll. Now, part of that is some of the younger guys that they've had that have been around a few years, not talking Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, but you know, the Cedric Mullins, the Anthony Santanders, guys who've been around for a few years. Yeah, they are making more money than they had been. So there was always going to be a natural increase in the payroll to at least a small degree. But you know, you look at the rotation moves. Okay, they signed Kyle Gibson. He replaces Jordan Lyles. They added Cole Irvin in a trade, which I actually think was a good trade. I think he's going to be a solid, you know, raise the floor of the rotation kind of guy. But I keep looking at this roster and I say, all of their upside, it continues to be tied into their youngest players, which I think Adley Rutschman can handle that. I think he proved that last year. But I look at Gunnar Henderson, who I think the world of, let's be clear about that, and Grayson Rodriguez, who so many people have watched him on a consistent basis in the minors, think the world of. We're just asking so much out of those two, which Gunnar's was in the majors a month down the stretch last year, and Grayson Rodriguez has yet to make his major league debut. Now, he would have last year hadn't had the health issue, but those are the guys that you're counting on for this team taking the next step. You know, the moves that they've made as far as some of their veteran additions were much more guys that, okay, they raised the floor a little bit, but are they making a difference of this team taking the next step, going from 83-79 to making the playoffs, being one of those three wild cards, having some semblance of a shot to make some noise in the division race, which certainly I'm not looking at the Orioles to win the division, but I'd like to be in the hunt, right? I mean, wild card teams are generally going to be in the division hunt at the very least. So that's where you look at this offseason and you kind of say, okay, what's going on exactly? You know, well, why didn't the payroll go up a little bit more than it did? You know, and that's where we get to John Angelo's comments in Sarasota on Sunday, which, you know, he did talk to the media in person for the first time in
his life,
the fall of 2018. You know, the day that Mike Elias was hired, you know, he had a couple Zooms, and in fairness, the pandemic was going on, so that was, you know, not something that was out of the ordinary, but when he was asked about the payroll, you know, it was, you know, foggy. I mean, he makes the comment that, yeah, there's more to spend and they're not there yet, but, you know, alludes to the fact that they'll spend more. But, okay, what does that look like? You know, and you know, he talks about aspiring to look like teams like Tampa Bay and Milwaukee and Cleveland in terms of they've remained competitive. I mean, we've talked a lot about the Rays with their farm system, but at the same time, it's fair to question, well, is that your ceiling? Because as well as the Rays have played in terms of sustaining a level of being competitive and making the playoffs and being able to be a team that's played in October, we've also talked about what's wrong with Tampa Bay and the viability of the Rays and their ballpark and their location and all these other issues that have prevented them from what? Taking the next step to becoming a team that can win a World Series. Now, I get it. They made it there in 2020, the weird pandemic year. You know, I think everyone kind of in their mind slaps an asterisk on that season for a number of reasons, out of anyone's control, as it pertains to baseball people. But when you're talking about aspiring to those teams, that's when people start to ask, okay, well, then what's the long-term objective here? I mean, concerts are great and wanting to improve the city is awesome. Don't get me wrong. That I'm not saying the community partnerships, which Angelos talks about, aren't important, because they are. But at the same time, you know what else is really important to people who have continued to support this baseball franchise over the last 30, 35 years, where frankly it hasn't deserved a whole lot of support based on the results that they've given in return? Winning. And being able to compete for a World Series. And we're coming up on 40 years now since the Orioles have last been in a World Series. So, you know, when you're so vague about the baseball part of this, and anyone who follows it understands, Masson's been an issue, and, you know, there's the family lawsuit that now appears to be in the rearview mirror, which is good. But at the same time, you know, people still look at it and say, what the heck's going on? So, the lease, all of those different things are part of it. But you saw a team that took a massive step last year, and there was a lot of excitement, and rightfully so. And people were excited. To your point, how excited relative to the Ravens and Todd Monken and being at this inflection point with Lamar Jackson? To me, this was a golden opportunity for the Orioles to not capture the city's full attention, because the NFL's king in Baltimore, just like it's king in any other market that has an NFL team. But I do come away from this offseason just feeling like, wow, what a colossal missed opportunity. And that's not to say that the Orioles still won't be good, or that's not to say the Orioles can't make the postseason in 2023. But did they do all that they possibly could with a reasonable range of expectation? You know, elevating the payroll, but not doing it to a insane 1 year, you know, one winter increase. That's where I look at this thing and say, you know, I'm left wanting, quite frankly. And that's where that does temper a little bit of that excitement that is kind of natural for a baseball fan when you're talking about pitchers and catchers reporting and coming off of what was a really fun 2022 season.
How old were you in 2006 when I did the walkout?
I was, that was so September of 2026, I was just almost 23 years old.
Turning 23. Okay, so you were an adult. Later. You were drinking, thinking, adult. And I know you to be pretty astute. I met you within 18 months of that, and it's now 17 years later. It's been 17 years. I found the signs. 17 years. I found shirts, Free the Bird shirts from 17 years ago. The pictures, the Hard Rock, the walk, the march, Peter Schmuck, you know, all of it, right? And it's amazing that, like, all these years later, the heat for me was how much they lied, how dishonest they were, just in general, how incompetent, grossly incompetent, but on top of incompetent, how malicious they were and how petty they were, and how everyone in the line from players, agents, owners, business people, local people, sponsors, ticket holders, everyone saw the situation for what it was 17 years ago. And I ran in the middle of the streets and screamed, like, it's going to burn down. It's going to be terrible. One day they might not even re-sign a lease. Here we are 17 years later. And every single thing you just went on your 5.5 minute rant about really just goes back to confidence level of ownership. Do these people know what they're doing? And at what point will they ever know what they were doing? And when will we know it? I mean, we know Mike Elias knows what he's doing, right? I mean, we're, you know, top of class, consensus, Baseball America, blah, 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 blah. On the field, you see these players, you see all of that. And then you're wondering, do they know at any other point what they're doing? I don't know what they're selling in the offseason, marketing in the offseason, TJ Brightman, the Oriole Bird, these caravans they've done, spring training. The owner pops off a couple of weeks ago on Martin Luther King Day, then pops off again sort of a little bit. And like to your point, you say something about John Angelos. I'll know he's a real man when he wants to sit and take questions from somebody like me. I mean, like, hiding, and we're going to pick the media and we're going to do it in Florida under – Dude, come sit in my studio and sit down, put your feet up for 2 hours, and let's talk about the city and your causes and Martin Luther King and the baseball team and commitment and what casino needs to go in and what needs to happen in the parking lot. How much money of the $600 million that you need to make the deal happen? Have you really talked to the Nashville people down there? How's Tim McGraw doing? You know, Garth Brooks, how are they feeling about things? How is Nashville? Do you like it down there? Why do you live down there? Things like that. If he wants to sit like I talk to everybody else, including Diamond Dallas Page on this program with you last week, right? Like, there's 17 years later, I still look at this as a flyover and doing this for a living, which is trying to help the city, investigating things, talking to people, asking about causes, trying to fix the Preakness, trying to, you know, the Ravens just signed a lease. Good for them while they're kicking media people out, intimidating media people. But this Orioles thing, it still comes back to it's 2023. And even when they're getting some aspects right, and they can, and the price and the cost of admission's gone up, and wherever they are with television and getting me their games to this device where my grandchildren are going to want to need to see that, right? That somewhere in a lacrosse town, somewhere in here, they would figure out how to do this correctly, and they're still doing these half-ass press conferences. And I was taking notes on everything you said because I'm writing a future columnist right now, Luke. But you called it foggy. That was your word. What's foggy about this in your mind? What's foggy about the franchise at this point?
Well, I mean, the lease in Macedon, I mean, those are the stating the obvious things, right? I'm talking in terms of if you're, because I always talk about it, there's a range of fandom. Not every fan has the interest in keeping up to date with the Masson thing, other than just acknowledging it exists and it is important and it does have an impact, but they're not going to sit there and read court documents. I mean, that's, you know, that's not what a lot of fans are going to do. My question, when you're looking at it strictly from a baseball standpoint, and this is where I will give John Angelos his due in terms of he did hire Mike Elias. Unlike his father, he did recognize the value in a farm system and dipping into the international market, which is slowly but surely starting to pay some dividends when you start to see some prospects that are on their radar. Still a couple years away, but guys that they've signed internationally and doing infrastructure, you know, improving the infrastructure and baseball ops and the
He
technology
hired
and
a
the analytics
competent
department.
baseball guy. There's no
He
doubt about
absolutely
that.
did. And that's why he does deserve credit for that. Now, that aside, acknowledging that, because any baseball fan who's paying attention to these things, again, whether you're going to get into the weeds of the details, you recognize in 2023 that is part of what makes things successful. Even the teams that have the highest payrolls do those, still do those other things.
By the
The
way, his
question.
father hired Pat Gillick. His father
He did.
hired Frank Wren. His father hired, you know, competent people along the
Sure.
way. Sometimes he screwed it up. Sometimes he couldn't figure it out. Sometimes it was Mike Flanagan or Brady Anderson or somebody from it, you know, Rick Dempsey inside of the family tree of whatever they, Tom Davis, whatever they considered to be trustworthy humans. But along the way, they have hired competent people. I think Mike Harker was a competent manager. I think Sam Perlazzo was a competent man. I mean, I think they had competent men along the way, all men, by the way. But that it takes a lot more than that, right? I mean, it takes a lot more than, oh, we drafted Adley Rutschman, you know. Well, you stunk bad enough to get him, right? So it's nice that you at least hit on a 1-1, right? As Ben McDonald sits in the booth 30 years later and opines about being a 1-1, right? We got BJ Surhoff running around here as well. But it takes more. It takes so much more. Like, it just does. And when I talk to, and I know you've had breakfast with, you know, Charles Steinberg, right? Who worked here and worked for Larry Lucchino, and you've been around the Ravens' excellence and their lack of excellence, quite frankly, at various points in terms of management, leadership, human intelligence, emotional intelligence, how much you rely on statistics and analysis and being modern and all of that. I know some people that respect John Angelos. I'm not one of them because I've seen the recent show. And if he wants to earn civic respect here, move back, be a part of the community, back up what you say, be a leader. be whatever the Clark Hunt is out in Kansas City. Be out in front of it, not only when it makes you feel good and you got Billy Joel or Bruce Springsteen in town, right? Like, it's a helicopter situation, and it's not great ownership. But that being said, to your point, you got to celebrate that they've done some things well enough to get to 83 wins last year. Now, the next question is, what's next?
Right. And that's where I look at this. And when you ask me what I feel is foggy beyond the off-field issues that are still there until a lease is officially signed, whether it's at the All-Star break or the end of the season. I mean, you can keep talking about it. You can keep issuing statements, even with the new governor, and that's well and good. But until there is action, they are just words at the end of the day. And that's not to say that I don't think there will be a lease, because I fully expect that. But until there is, it's still part of the story and still part of that. But for me, what gets foggy beyond those off-field things, which impact the baseball team and what happens on the field to varying degrees at varying times, is you've gotten to this point now where you are 83, you were 83 and 79. You have this fantastic farm system. You've trimmed payroll over the last few years. And again, when they were losing 110 plus games in 2019, I wasn't suggesting that they should go out and buy Major League Baseball players and have a big payroll at that point in time, because you know, what's the difference between winning 110 or losing 110 games as opposed to 103? They stink either way. So, but now you are at this point where you're asking the question, all right, how do they take the next step? Yes, the young guys are going to continue to do a massive amount of the lifting, if not all of the heavy lifting. However, this to me, and I even talked about this some last year, and maybe if they did it last year, they win more than 83 games. Who knows? It's revisionist history, you know, hindsight being 2020. But certainly this offseason, how do you take the next step? You've saved on payroll over the last 3, 4, or 5 years, including in the midst of a pandemic, which, you know, was kind of an odd statement that he made on Sunday, talking about the timing of the pandemic with them going through the massive rebuild that they were going
through.
He's
an odd fellow.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
he's a billionaire's kid who's born off. I mean, he's odd. Sure. I mean, I'm just watching it. Like, there's never been anything normal about it. And Sid Thrift said to me, that ball's an introvert. It ball's an introvert. Well, now he needs to be extroverted. And I think part of all of this stage show with his media bunkies that he wants to bring in and allow in and invite down to Florida, you know, without socks and sandals to talk about issues up there in the city where it's cold. Like, the notion that they're trying to get a lease done, this is his best foot forward. He's trying hard, right? I mean, just the fact that he sat down with people, he's trying this week to at least move public opinion, maybe not on me, but on others, that he's going to be getting this money from the state and fix things up and make it nice under the guise that they're going to allow him and the family to keep the team when dad dies, right? Like, at the nut of it all, at the crossroads of all of it, Luke, it's that he's fighting to keep the team in a way that where David Modell was resigned to the fact that he just wasn't going to own the team. The finances, the league, who he was, where he is. I don't gather that John's there. I gather that John goes to bed every night thinking John's going to own the Orioles the rest of his life in Baltimore, and that's going to be a battle unto itself, right? Like, it doesn't feel like they're fixing to sell this team or cheapening it down or getting a better deal for the next owner. That's the really complicated part of the Rubik's Cube here that entails Mr. Lerner's family, who passed away last week. They're trying to get rid of that team, the mass and money. Dude, this is not even checkers chess. This is Stratego. This is a different level of what's going on here. And what I see from him in these, this guy hasn't appeared in 25 years for anybody. He's shown up on my timeline, you know, 3 times in 3 weeks now. And they're looking to get to the marriage of whatever the deal is, under the notion that I think he thinks he's keeping the team. And that would be news to every other astute person I've talked to within the industry that thinks that John Angelos is really going to own this team 5, 10, whenever this lease, they bake the cake on the lease, that his family is going to be a part of this. There's always been a thought within baseball that some other family would own this team. But dude, they've been saying that since Masson was born 18 years ago, 19 years ago.
Well, and I mean, certainly you're better versed with capital gains and, with Peter, as far as,
Well, no one knows what Peter's will or,
right. Well, in the same way that you don't know about anyone, right? I mean, when you're called home, you're called home. I mean, but just all the layers to that again, there are people that are far better versed in that than me. But certainly, based on the way he spoke on Sunday, he did not give off any kind of an impression that he's looking to sell now or any time in the near future. Now, there's a range there. I mean, the family owns what, roughly 70% of the club. They could sell a portion of the club. He could remain CEO, as long as they have a controlling interest. So there are a lot of scenarios that still play out, but it still begs the question. And this kind of goes back to, remember what I said, all the off-field stuff, but then that's related to what happens on the field of, so many people have talked about their payroll, and even this off-season with them not having spent a whole lot, wondering if that was related to potentially selling at some point in the near future.
Sure.
But if they're not, then that begs the question even more. Well, why wasn't there a little more money put into the major league payroll this offseason in terms of, no one's saying, realistically speaking, going out and signing Jacob deGrom? I mean, I was just reading some stuff over the weekend that people think the Rangers were insane to give Jacob deGrom the deal that they gave him based on the health issues he's had the last couple of
Well,
years.
Carlos Correa had three or four deals that were insane.
Sure. Well, sure. But the point is, they didn't go out and get someone viewed as a top half of the rotation starter, let's say. They didn't go out and get a middle of the order bat. Instead, it was moves around the edges, moves around the margins, which, again, not saying that some of these guys they brought in won't help them, but are those the guys that are getting them over the hump, so to speak? No. And that's where I say it continues to be on the back of Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Grayson Rodriguez, and go down the list of all the other guys that we've come to know a little bit over the last couple of years. But with Angelo saying what he said in terms of giving off no kind of an air of looking to sell anytime soon or to scale back the Angelo's family's involvement in any way, it's what it does beg the question of, okay, you've gotten to this point, and yeah, I'll give you credit for hiring Mike Elias and making the commitments in other elements of baseball operations that were woefully neglected for a long, long time. I mean, you go back to even the 90s when you talked about it, their farm system still wasn't in good shape. They just spent a lot of money back
Dude, you're
then.
giving him credit for this, and I literally just wrote as a note, like, you do know Paul McCartney and Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen have been playing baseball stadiums for 20 years, right? They
Well,
played
and
every
that,
other stadium on the continent. So to act like, well, we have an academy now and we have
right.
scouts in places,
These
well,
were requisites. They were supposed to be requisites, right? They were supposed to be there all along,
let's
right?
not
No
give them
question about
credit
it.
for getting back to like
Well,
baseline level, for crying out loud. The Tampa and they're talking about Tampa Bay as being something you aspire. The Yankees and the Dodgers and the Reds, they still
right.
play too. You know, they're still in the league.
No, I understood, but at the same time, I want to be objective and fair about it too. And the elements of this organization that we complained about for a long, long time. I mean, talk about the farm system. It dried up in the 80s. I mean, even before Peter Angelos bought the team, this farm system had really dried up compared to where it was in the 60s and the 70s. Let's be honest
Joe
about that.
Altobelli had
So, yeah,
complaints.
I will give credit in. Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. He didn't last very long after 83 because it all dried up at that point. But my point is with that is lots of teams recognize that, but they still don't execute it well. There are still teams that have lousy farm systems. How much have we talked about? We don't even live in Los Angeles or anywhere close. We're on the other side of the country. And how much have you and I mentioned, at least in passing, how the Angels have wasted Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani? Why? Because they've had a lousy farm system and they haven't been able to put a good enough team around them, because you can't just have two players and expect to win meaningfully. So I will give them that credit, but to your point, and I agree, yeah, let's not, I don't want this to be a case of giving credit means that John Angelos and the organization just pats themselves on the back and say mission accomplished. 83 and 79 is not mission accomplished. 83 and 79, in my mind and my expectation, and I'm not talking out of turn here, I'm not talking like any different than any fan would at this point, should be a stepping stone to next being competitive. And my question is then is, okay, being competitive and making the playoffs is great. And we've talked about this a little bit with the Ravens over the last 10 years, right? You know, they haven't had these 3-13 kind of seasons, but they have two playoff wins over a decade. So, you know, different sport, different economics, all of that. No one's questioning the Ravens wanting to win. But with the Orioles, it's a case of, okay, you're at this point now, got a good farm system, you have a low payroll that should mean flexibility that you can go out and spend smart, wisely, intelligently, but spend and augment what you have. Why wasn't more done?
To
And if
your
it's
point,
not
where are
right
the
now,
JJ Hardys,
is it
where are the
next
Nelson
offseason?
Cruzes,
Exactly,
where's that coming
exactly.
from 10 years ago? Right.
And let me say this, and you know, my final thought on it is, if it's not that, then at the very least, give me a show of good faith and go extend Adley Rutschman then. Go extend Gunnar Henderson then. And at least if you're not going to spend on outside free agents, these special young players that you have, signal to me they're going to be around for the long term. Because, you know, my final thought on Tampa Bay, as great as they've been in building a farm system and being competitive, they've also cycled players in. And I think that's a big reason beyond the location and the lousy stadium that is Tropicana Field and all of that is their fans don't have anyone to identify with because those guys are there for 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years with a couple exceptions, and then they're gone and they just cycle players in and out. So if you're telling me that's the model for the Orioles, then I don't know what the ceiling is there, but it doesn't feel like it's having a great chance to win a World Series, you know, on a multiple year kind of basis. So that's where it's foggy for me in terms of what does the next step look like? Because, you know, it felt like a half measure this offseason, and that's where some of my excitement for 2023 is really tempered.
Hey man, don't blame me. We're talking baseball. Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the interwebs. And of course, spring training, not around the corner. Spring training is here, and we're going to have real games coming up very soon. We are doing still some Radio Row programming here. We're going to get back out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I got my Window Nation shirt on. You buy two, you get two free in 2 years, 0% financing. That's 866-90 Nation. Make sure you're checking them out as well. I'm going to have some new scratch offs because the Maryland Lottery's 50th anniversary. On the 3rd, we're going to be at Drug City in Dundalk. And on the 8th, we're going to be at Fadley's in Lexington Market. Yes, the old Fadley's still there. Maybe one last crab cake and some fried oysters. Stay with us. We're going to be doing some football. Obviously, new offense coordinator Todd Monken. Luke is out at Baltimore Positive. We're out together at WNST out on the Twitter thing. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Oh, real baseball.